We're going to do something a little bit different from what's in the bulletin, and I'm going to do part one of my sermon, so it's not too long, and it goes with the scripture. First of all, you need to know that when I was in elementary school, one of the things my teachers would have is show and tell. How many of you participated in show and tell at some time in your life? Okay, a lot of people, good. One of the things that I remember most is that the introverts in our class seemed to bring the most exciting things. I still remember a boy in my, I think it was third grade class, his name was John. He brought a scuba diving gear, actually had his father come to class and wear the gear for us. That was really cool. When I became a teacher, I would use show and tell, and the reason I would do show and tell first thing in the morning was it gave me a chance to take attendance, to take lunch and meal count, and also for kids to practice public speaking. So that was really a great thing. Now, it would also help me to plan for the day, because lo and behold, any of you who are teachers know, as well as you have your lesson plans filled out, things change. You know, maybe that bit of technology you needed is not available. Maybe a guest speaker you were going to have come in has not come in. So it gives you time to replan your day. God has a plan for our lives. One of the people that really touched me this week was Aretha Franklin, and hearing about her passing. When I was at Dubuque, it had a special meaning for me. One, because I love soul music, and two, because Aretha was a loyal Detroiter. Now, I believe God had a plan for Aretha's life. As you probably know, when she was a young child, her father was the pastor of a Baptist church in Detroit, and she would sing and just bare her soul. And as she got a little older, she did do secular music, but she was always coming back to her faith. And her pastor at the Pastor Smith at New Bethel Baptist Church, the church where her father was pastor at one time, he would say that whenever Aretha got behind a piano and would sing the song Amazing Grace, and you can check this on YouTube, she does a 10-minute version. And during that 10-minute version, you will laugh, you will cry, you will dance. She just does an amazing job. Now, another person that God had a plan for was Moses. And in this scripture, we see that Moses, well, actually, even before this scripture, we see that Moses was brought up in the home of Pharaoh. If you remember the story, Moses was put in a basket because all of the Hebrew boys were supposed to be thrown into the river and drowned, because Pharaoh was so paranoid that the Hebrews were getting to be so large in numbers that they would eventually take over and they would uprise. And so Moses was put in a basket by his family and put in the river, and he was discovered by one of Pharaoh's daughters' handmaidens and brought to Pharaoh's daughter, and she had no children, so she welcomed this child as her own. So Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh and had the finest clothes, the best food, and if any of you have seen the Moses and the Ten Commandments movie by Cecil B. DeMille, he probably had a personal trainer too, if you remember Yul Brynner. Moses was also shaped by, you know, Moses got in trouble later in life and became an enemy, actually, of Pharaoh. and had to go back to his original Hebrew roots. And so he became a shepherd. So I believe that God prepared Moses for leadership by both living in the palace and living as a shepherd. Finally, God has a plan for all of us. And we need to discern how he is, what that plan is. I think part of the plan over this past week, many of you were involved in Good Week, and I think God is calling our congregation to not only be involved in mission overseas, but also in our neighborhood. God also speaks to us. God speaks to us in many ways. And we've talked before about how God speaks to us through nature, how God speaks to us through scripture, through fellow Christians, through art, through music. God can speak to us in many ways. I want to tell you about one of my classmates. Her name is Linda. And Linda lives just outside of New Jersey. And I encountered her again this week, these past 2 weeks when we had our intensive. And Linda, on her own, became a certified Christian educator. Went through about 60 hours of classes online and did this, and did it as a volunteer. Linda happens to work at a very small church just outside of New Jersey, a church of about 30 people. And they only have a part-time head pastor. And occasionally, this part-time pastor would be out. He'd either be ill, or he'd be at a conference, or have something going on. And so he would ask Linda if she would preach for him. Well, Linda found out through preaching that this was really her gift. And the congregation told her, as a matter of fact, the congregation told her they even liked her preaching better than the head pastor. So it caused Linda to go back to seminary. And even though Linda is a few years older than me, she is going for a Master's of Divinity degree to become an ordained pastor. God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. God told Moses, I have a plan for you, and this is it. Moses didn't really want to listen to God's plan, though. If you remember, in this passage and in future passages, we will find out more. God is speaking to us. We always need to make sure that we're listening to him. He's speaking to us as individuals, as families, as groups, small groups, through work or groups that you just gather with. And God is also speaking to our church. So let's listen for God. The second part of my message is called Tell and Show, rather than Show and Tell. Tell and Show. And this is geared towards the extroverts in class. I remember some of the extroverts could bring the strangest, silliest things to class. Like I remember on one occasion, one of my classmates brought a bag, and there was something in the bag, and the bag was tied very tightly. And he was talking about his older brother, who was in high school, went to Edsel Ford, and how he was on the cross-country team, and how his brother was growing so rapidly that he grew out of his size 12 shoes into a size 13, so he had to get new shoes. So he wanted to show us the pair of shoes that his brother wore when he won many races. And so he opened up this bag, and I think the first two rows of students just started gagging and falling over. It was worse than a Limburger truck had tipped over. The smell was terrible. And I remember the teacher said, let's put those shoes outside our door on the outside, and let's let the sun bake them, and maybe it'll kill some of the bacteria. So God is unchangeable, as we have found out. God talked about the calling himself I am to Moses. Moses was not really convinced that God was going to speak through him. So he kept coming up with excuses like, what should I call you? And God told him, I am. Now, I am stands for power. God's power is mighty and eternal. And another student that I met these past 2 weeks at seminary, his name was Nate. Actually, he went by Nate. His name was actually Nat. And he was from the western coast of Africa. And Nat had originally been trained up as an IT person and did that for about 15 years, came to the United States, got his citizenship, became an IT person, and was doing really well. But then in the early 2000s, when the economy kind of dipped, Nat's company closed, and Nat was released along with other people. And so Nat and his wife, Nat was brought up a Christian in Africa, and Nat and his wife prayed intently about what he should do. Should he apply for more IT jobs? Should he be retrained? What should he do? And Nat really enjoyed working with the teenagers in his church, and he was the youth group director. And once again, this was a very small church. And so after a while, Nat and his wife determined that God was speaking to them, through them, and that God wanted Nat to become an ordained pastor. So once again, Nat was going to become, to obtain a Master of Divinity degree. Now, Nat knows that God is unchangeable and God is very powerful. Nat is getting this degree, but then he's also going to go back to school and he's going to get a certification as a chaplain because he really feels that God is calling him to do some counseling and to reaching out to people either in hospitals or prisons. Now, Moses should have God should have been unchangeable to Moses. But as we see, Moses kind of waffled. Moses kept coming up with excuses to God. You know, what should I call you? And later on, we will find out in the coming weeks, he was worried about speaking. You know, he told God, I'm not a great speaker. And so God told him that he would speak through his brother Aaron. The reason Moses did this is he really doubted God, and because of that, doubted himself, what God could do through him. Now, God should be unchangeable to us. We should have faith in God and what he is doing through us. The next portion of this talk is talking about how God gives us stories. And one of the international students that I work with, who had considered himself for the past 2 years as being a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. He had not made Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior, but he wanted to learn more about Jesus because he was fascinated by this Jesus. Well, he had a pretty good job here in the Detroit metro area, but he was called out of state and was given a job at twice the salary, twice the benefits. Yeah, I mean, it was just wonderful. The only bad thing was he was called on a Wednesday and his new employer wanted him in the state by Monday on the job. So, you know, he had all of these things to do. He had to sublease his apartment. He had to lease a new apartment in this new location. He had to get roommates. He had an old car, an old used car that had about 100,000 miles on it. And he knew he needed a newer car if he was to travel across the country to this new state. And God just worked out everything. He got a used car with only 20,000 miles on it. And so I asked this person, I said, and he told me that it was at that point that he believed that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. And I said, you know, how did this come about? And he said, it had to be the Holy Spirit who spoke to me, because he said, normally in situations like that, I get very nervous and anxious, and I was just very calm, and the Holy Spirit just handled everything and made everything fall in place. Now, Moses also shared with his father, or not his father, but his father-in-law, Jethro, shared about the one true and living God. And because of his sharing, Jethro became a believer. God gives all of us stories. Now, I know Pastor Chris recently taught a class on Wednesdays about how to share your story. And one of the things he was lamenting to me was that some people actually felt that they didn't have a story. And I guarantee you, all of you have many stories. And I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I did a sermon series on prayer. And I had asked Chris Meyer, and I had asked, Ben Dickinson. And I had asked Marge, and I had asked Noreen if they would speak. Now, not so much Chris and Ben, although I have a feeling they were slightly anxious, but I know Marge and Naren were extremely anxious, to the point where I had to talk to each of them separately, and I told Noreen, I said, Marge is going to do this, and he said, well, if Marge is going to do this, I'm going to do it. And then when I talked with Marge, I said, Noreen's going to do it. And Marge said, well, if Noreen's going to do it, I'm going to do it. And they did a great job. All four of them did a great job. So this could be one of their stories about how God, how they allowed the Holy Spirit to work through them. Even though they were very anxious and nervous about coming up front, they shared their story. There may be a time where you could share your story about when a prayer was answered, or maybe a time where you felt God speaking to you, as we said, through a fellow Christian, through scripture, through music, through artwork, through nature. So what I'd like you to do is take the next 2 minutes to think about one of your stories. In other words, how you could have a relational evangelism tool. Not to beat somebody over the head with a Bible, but just to calmly share your story, listen to their story, and then share the story of Jesus Christ with them. So what I'd like you to do is take the next 2 minutes, think about a story that God has given you, and then after 2 minutes, I'll alert you. And then I'd like you to share it with at least one other person. Thank you for taking the time to share with one another. Remember, this is relational evangelism. It's very natural. It's very relaxing to use. And if you're still not sure of a story, Julia and I will be teaching an adult ed class starting in early September 16th, I believe, and it'll be on this relational evangelism.